This parsha really is a lot to do with the psychological profiles. It has a lot to do with it. And to bring you up to speed, really, a couple of things that I didn't say last week have to do with the background onto this Sedra also. Yaakov was the type of a person who, his whole life, he lived, when we say Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Oalim, part of the thing was he always believed he could get through something by talking his way through it, which is what brings to mind with the Maisa Dina in last week's parsha. You have the scenario where Achartem Osila Visheni Bioshev Aretz, he thought somehow on some level that he could come to some arrangement, whatever it is, by talking. He had gone through his deal with Esav twice by talking his way out of his problem with Lavan. He's talked his way out of his problem. And the unfortunate part is his children are witness to a lot of the things. And, of course, previous to their birth, they heard the stories. I'm sure Yaakov related to them. And living with Lavan, they grew tired of seeing their father bow down to Esav and various things like that. And they came to understand that this is not always the best way, perhaps. And they get an attitude. What really is the trigger that I find over here at the beginning of the parsha over here is when Yosef starts to, what gives over his dreams. Of course, Rabbi Alpert makes a very interesting point. Actually, I believe it's probably in next week's Sedra in the Limudei Nisan, when he says it's a very interesting thought process that while the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, when Bnei Yisrael are Omdim al Artsam, they Yoshvim al Artsam, is we do all the dreaming. Avraham had his dreams. Yitzhak, we didn't have any dreams. He had Nevuah, whatever it is. But Yaakov had his dreams. And Yosef now has his dreams, which is why Yaakov put all his eggs in Yosef's basket, because now Yosef seems to attain the mantle of leadership by Yaakov sees he's the next dreamer, which means he's going to be the next one of the Avos. But what we see here by the end of Vayeshev, when Yosef is taken into captivity and he interprets the dream of the Sar Of and the Sar Mashke, in the next week's Parsha, when he's by Paro and he interprets Paro's dreams, in Eretz Yisrael, we as Jews are interpreting our own dreams. When we're in Golus, when we're in Chutz Laretz, we end up interpreting other people's dreams, the Amei Aretz. It's a very powerful thought process that to get back to the land of Israel so we could begin to interpret our own dreams, we don't have our own dreams living in Golus. But to get it to the beginning of the parsha, what bothered me is when we said last week's Parshim Lavan Garti, and it says that Yaakov, what was he so afraid of? That for 22 years he wasn't home, and Lavan and Esav was at home being Mekayim the Mitzvahs Kibud Av V'Em. Do we really think that's a rational statement, that Esav was really being Mekayim Kibud Av V'Em? Because what did Esav really want from Yitzhak? He wanted the bracha. The bracha, he was a phony, we know that. That's all he wanted, and that was the only thing that got him upset. Yaakov got the bracha. Did he really stay home and take care of his father for 22 years? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't tell us one way or the other, but we're led to believe that based on Mamari Chazal, but the reality is I don't think that he was home serving Yitzchak and Rivka to take care of being kind of kibud av v'em. That wasn't in his character, obviously, if he was gallivanting around the countryside doing all the things that Esav, as opposed to Yishmael, who we'd like to say did tshuva at the end of his life. We know that Esav never did any tshuva, and to say that he would have had that scenario is unlikely. The Malva makes a very interesting point that one thing that we could thank Yaakov, what was the purpose, the main purpose of Yaakov coming home at this time? Of course, when it says ki hayaruchu sham rav lo yachlu lo sheves yachdav, what did that accomplish that kicked Esav out of Eretz Yisrael? Esav was living in Eretz Yisrael at that point, but when Yaakov came home and now the land was too small for both of them in their great amounts of chush that they have. There wasn't room for both of them. Like Avraham and Lot, they couldn't live together, so Yaakov and Esav weren't able to coexist in such a small area of land. So Esav picked himself up and left. So he had no chush to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's not as if he said, I was here first to Yaakov. He left. But the problem starts off, every single word in the parsha is chosen very carefully. It says, Vayeshev Yaakov b'eretz mugurei aviv. Now, some of this is my own thought process, but I see it touched upon on some level. When do we actually appreciate something more? I know we talk about how a lot of our parents or grandparents grew up and they didn't have so much. But if you're a child and you only know one way, you don't miss it because you never had it. So the point of beginning the parsha the way it does, Vayeshev Yaakov b'eretz mugurei aviv, Yaakov, what do we say first? Yaakov actually began to put down roots. He lived here now. He came home. He had his 12 sons and his daughter, and the family began to grow, and he really took hold of the land. Avram and Yitzchak, previous to Yaakov, were a ger in the land. They only lived there. They had the Be'eretz Mugureyev. It doesn't say Be'eretz Yeshiva Saviv. But Yaakov really began to appreciate the land of Eretz Yisrael these 17 years. The purpose of going through that scenario was going into Golus after having such a wonderful 17 years at this time makes you appreciate so much more what you're about to lose. So Vayeshev Yaakov b'eretz mugurei aviv, b'eretz Kanaan, Eile toldos Yaakov. Now we begin to have the tzoras. What was Yaakov's tzoras? Eile toldos Yaakov Yosef. He put all his eggs in one basket. He had 12 children. Why doesn't it say Eile toldos Yaakov his 12 sons? But it says Eile toldos Yaakov is Yosef, because that's the one he focused on. Of course, we know many Mefarshim tell us that Yosef in his mind was his Bechor. He was the Bechor of Rachel, who he intended to marry. And therefore, Yosef was his Bechor from Rachel. And therefore, in his mind, Yosef was. But he put all his eggs in Yosef's basket, as I said, because he, as soon as he began to have his dreams, this is the man. V'yosolok sonis pasim. That was the royal robe, so to speak, to put that on him, to designate him as the next one of the Avos. Yaakov did not know if the Avos, the Shlosha Avos that we say, would stop with his existence, that Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and now Yosef was going to be the next one. And he wanted to do it while he was alive, because Avraham had Yitzchak, there was only one, Ki B'Yitzchak Yikarei L'Chazara, God told him. But Yitzchak ran into a problem because he was waffling between Yaakov and Esav, and he thought perhaps, Yaakov saw the problem with his father not designating right from the get-go that Yaakov would be the next leader. And he wanted to establish right now among the 12 sons and say, while I'm still alive and able to control the situation, I am appointing Yosef as the next one to be the leader, the manig of Klal Yisrael. And in fact, the Malbim points out once again to say, and that is the fact that Yosef would be, because who would be the first leader to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael? It would be Yoshua, Yosef's grandson. A grandson of Yoshua and Enochel would be the one to take Klal Yisrael. And who would be the first Mashiach? Mashiach ben Yosef. And those are the things. And so that's what he saw in the future in his Nevuah. But the problem is, what gave the brothers the whole thought process that they could sell Yaakov or even attempt to kill him? What would give them that idea that they could actually get away with it? Well, they saw, in effect, they saw how their brother got along their father got along with Esav, all the problems that they had, and they saw there was the Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. Maybe they heard the story with Eliphaz and Yaakov, all the things that went through, and they wanted to forestall, but nevertheless it teaches them that there is that situation. And even though after Yosef tells the dreams and it says V'yaviv Shomaris Hadavar, there are mixed signals over here. And I remember when my son came home from Eretz Yisrael, at one point he said his Rebbe told him that the reality was the reason that Yosef didn't, when he had the opportunity as king to maybe send word home that he was alive and the Chiyum Moshe El B'Eretz Mitzrayim, was that he never knew perhaps his father was in on the whole sale or the attempt to kill him, that his father was maskim to the whole thing, which sounds outrageous. But the reality is, if you look at the words, and I say every word is very important here, when it says Vayigar Bo Aviv, and Yaakov says Havo Navo Aniv Yimcha V'Achecha Lishtachavos L'Chaharitza, in front of his other children, so to speak, because he sees this dissension in the family over here, and he's making a show to the other brothers, because the pasuk says Aviv Shavaris Hadavar is the end of the pasuk. So what is Vayigar Bo Aviv? Maybe he should have said something. But when the brothers see that that Yaakov is so miffed at Yosef and he really loses his temper with him, they think perhaps that Yaakov is also thinking that Yosef is overstepping his bounds, and perhaps that Yaakov feels also the need to maybe get rid of Yosef on some level. The problem becomes when Yosef, so it says, Eila toldos Yaakov ben Shvaisre Shonon, of course we know, Behu nares b'nei bilha. So, Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro'el avihem. What was happening over here? So we say that Yosef brought the Lashon Hara, and that's all he brought. And it says what happened? He saw the way the older brothers abused the Don Naftali God and Asher, the Bnei Ashvachos, and he didn't like the way they lorded it over them. But who? What Yosef did not, Rabbi Alpert points out, what Yosef did not see was that it was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda who were carrying the ball here with doing it. But what Yosef did not see was, he was the same thing he was doing to Don Naftali, God and Asher, he was also doing to Yisachar and Zevulun. And what he brings is a maisa, he mentions down, Rabbi Alper brings a maisa with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, when a wagon driver came to him and said, can I take, I'm a Kohen, and can I take a grusha, can I take a grusha? And Rav Chaim said, absolutely, it's mutta. And everybody who was sitting around, the Talmidim who were watching him, he had people sitting around. I said, what? You're telling me he said a Kohen could marry a grusha? He said, you don't know, you can't make a judgment, you don't know the whole story. The whole story was very simple. You're making a judgment. He's a wagon driver, and he wanted to know if he could take a passenger on his horse and wagon who was a grusha. And so I know that that's the story, that's the background on the scenario, so I told him yes. He didn't want to marry her, he just wanted to take her for a pass. He wanted to know if he could put a grusha on his wagon. That's the story that happened with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he says. So the point is, we make judgments without knowing the full story. And Yosef came vayoveh es dibosom ro'el avihem. He saw Don Naftali God and Asher being mistreated. And what he didn't see was they weren't singling out the Bnei Ashvachos, because they did the same thing to Yisachar and Zvulun, who are also a few years younger. What is Kiben Zakunim Hulo actually mean? So the Malbim, again, this parsha belongs to Rabbi Alpert and the Malbim. I said, the Abarbanel, I don't have much that I really fell in love with over here, because this is more, he gives a psychological profile on a less than spiritual level as well. But Ben Zakunim Hulo, Binyamin was even younger. We'd say he was, his youngest, but he wasn't. Binyamin was younger. He didn't treat Binyamin that way. But Ben Zakunim, it brings other ways that we see the word is used. He was a very smart person. And how do we know that? Because it says, Behunar v'Yisrael ahavet Yosef ki ben Zakunim v'yiru echav ki oso ahavet ihem. And it's, Behunar v'hayoroe es echav batzon. What was Yosef doing over here? Yosef was, generally speaking, home with his father, taking care and learning at his father's knees, at his father's side, always learning from Yaakov, being treated as a privileged character, while the other Shvatim were out in the fields actually doing work. And Hoyaroa Esechob Batzon Vuhunar, what does it say? That Yosef was giving them advice about how to be a good shepherd. So you're telling us, you're sitting at home, we're doing the work. You know, you could have somebody at work, you get a new worker, you get a manager in an office building, and he, all of a sudden he's telling them how to drive the truck and how to do this and how to do that, best way. Did you do the job? We're out there, we know what the problems are, but he was giving them advice. So that's what they resented and they couldn't take. So now Ben Zakunim, but Yaakov saw that he had these leadership qualities. So why didn't he go directly to them? Because since he was younger, he knew the brothers wouldn't respect him. So if he would tell Yaakov, Yaakov could probably have a better relationship. They would more aptly respect their father telling them certain things that they were doing wrong. And that would work better. And that was Yosef's way, modus operandi, of Ayove Yosef as dibosomro el avihem. But of course, the problem becomes along when Vayigar Bo Aviv, it sends that mixed signal and they think they could get away with this. Now, it says, Vayiruo so me rechok, Vayisnakluo so lahami so. It says, and then when Reuven saw, and he said, Al Tishpichu Dam, please, let's throw him in the pit. Initially, he wanted Lahashivo Al Aviv. His first salvo, the pasuk is divided into two parts. When Reuven saw what they wanted to do, he intended initially to immediately bring him home to his parents, to bring him home to write home initially. But when he saw that that didn't go over very well with the brothers, he said, "Hashlichu oso el abarazeh, at least let's not kill him and we'll throw him in the pit." Why? Vinireh mayu chalom osav. If we kill him, the dreams, if they were real dreams, the brothers thought that he didn't even really have these dreams. He was just making up the whole story in the first place to show that he is a big shot. And now, why did he come after them to Shechem? Even to Shechem, he was looking for them. Why in the world would he even attempt to go to Shechem? And this is where they thought if Yaakov attempted to send the Mokom Ruchon Leperonios, as we say, Shechem was a very dangerous place in their minds to relive the horrors of last week's Parsha that went on, for him to send Yosef, perhaps even in Yosef's mind, Halo Achecha Roim B'Shechem, and that if Yosef's father sent him, Vayomer Elohim Neini, listen, you know and I know, that's not a great idea, but if you as my father, I'm ready to do whatever you tell me to do. And Yosef is thinking, perhaps, maybe it's in his mind as well, that my father is upset with me too, and he wants to see what happens over here. But they throw him into the pit because they rationalize, if they kill him, there was a sichsuch in the brothers. And if we kill him, we'll never know if those dreams ever were meant to come true. But if we just throw him in the pit and somehow he is saved through no attempt by us to save him, And the dreams, at least we're giving the dreams an opportunity. If God meant for these dreams to come true, at least we'll find out at some later point in time if we don't kill him now. But Reuven made that mistake. And he doesn't say, the Malbim says specifically that Reuven never went home to serve Avraham. It's just that he separated himself Lamala Shivo Alaviv to separate Vayeshvu Lecho Lechem, and he just walked away from them at a great distance. And a lot of Mefarshim, and he quotes, the Malbim quotes the Rabbeinu Bechai and says it was him that he was the one who said that the brothers had no part in the selling of Yosef whatsoever. That it, when it says Vayimshechu Vayalu Vayimshechu Es Yosef Min Habor was not the brothers, it was the Yishmaelim. Because they were so far away, they only were discussing it, what to do with Yosef, and they thought maybe they would bring him home. What was the thought process that destroyed the whole idea of bringing him home? Because at this point, once they threw him in the pit, or even at Layafshitu Es Kutanto Asher Olav, how are they ever going to bring him home now? Because now the story would come out that they even were thinking to kill him. So what would they tell Yaakov at this point? So now the whole problem became to cover up immediately before they even threw him in the pit. So they realized that they had to at least do something to him without killing him. So now Yehuda pipes up and it says, let's sell him, or we'll discuss it. In the meantime, while this whole discussion was going on, they saw these people from a distance, and the Medanim came by from a different direction, and he didn't know, they didn't see that. And they took him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelim, and the Ishmaelim sold him, and he went down to Mitzrayim. The only thought that I mentioned to a couple of people this week from the Abar Benel was, why did they have to go ahead and say that Torof Toraf Yosef, that Chaya Ro'ach Halosu? They could have said perhaps he was put upon by some people. You know, you're on the way, along the way, he could have probably been mugged and taken. They said very simply that if it was done by bad people along the way, they would have kept such a beautiful coat. They would have kept that too, and then they never would have had the opportunity to send the coat home to show that it was Yosef, and Yosef would just be a missing person, and they would not be able to say that we got rid of Yosef or any way, shape, or form. And so he says that's the rationale. So they had to say that Chayaro Achalosu. The beautiful part, what Rabbi Albert says at this point, is something else entirely different. And he says, I don't understand the whole idea when Yosef, when they bring Vayishalchu es Ksonis HaPasim, it doesn't say that they brought the Ksonis Pasim. That wouldn't look good because he knew, you know, they're too much involved. They sent messengers with the Ksonis Pasim, Vayishalchu es Ksonis HaPasim. They sent other people to bring it. And then they said, oh, you have the Ksonis Pasim over here. What do you think happened? And they said, Torof, Torof, Yosef. I don't understand. How come the beged seems to be intact? So if you're going to say, Chayoro Achalosu, what did the lion or the wild animal that tore Yosef apart said, you know, I'm hungry. Take the jacket off, please. I want to eat the meat. So remove your jacket. And so how did the jacket come back? So when it says, Vayimo'ein lehisnachem, it says, I understand it seems to be that Yosef, it's full of blood, and it's, you know, it looks bad, but Vayimo'ein lehisnachem, something doesn't smell right, I have a problem here. But Yaakov is a Navi, and he does have some level of Nevuah, even though Nevius is only Shruya Mitoch Simcha Nevuah, and now that it is fallible because he has such aggravation with the thought that Yosef has been murdered over here or died of some nefarious way, what happens now, I see this in my dream, that yo, the beged has some thought in my dream, but he sees the future. And what he sees in the future is the beged is a problem for Yosef. The problem is, since he can't see clearly now, he sees Vayazo Bigdo Biodo Vayonos Vayetzi Achusa, the Maisa with Ashes Potiphar later on in the Parsha. That's the beged that he saw that Yosef had a problem with and ends up being thrown into jail and almost getting killed for that Maisa that Yosef had a problem with the beged. It wasn't the Ksonas Pasim, but the Nevuah became all jumbled and he couldn't see it clearly enough to understand. So now we get down to the interesting part over here is when he meets whoever this is along the way, and if you want to say it's a malach, it seems very obvious because it doesn't seem to be any, because the wording is also a little bit strange. What is he doing? He's looking for his brothers. So it says, Lemi ato mevakesh, perhaps you should say, who are you looking for? But when he says, Vayushaleu ish leimor matvakesh, that is a whole different interpretation, a whole different way of questioning. What are you looking for? You're looking for to solve a problem? What do you hope to gain by going to your brothers? What are you looking for? So it says, Vayomer Esachai Anochi Mevakesh. And when he says, you know, what do you call it? Vayomer Ish Nosu Mizeh. What is Vayomer Ish Nosu Mizeh? You're looking for your brothers? That ship has sailed. I overheard, it says, I overheard them talking. What did he overhear them saying? Nelcha no soina, nelcha do soina. Well, that's part of it. But the way I heard them talking, these are not talking like people who are your brothers. Vayomero ish no sumizeh. That ship sailed. These are no longer your brothers. So mativakesh, what are you looking for? You're looking for camaraderie? You're looking to get closer to your brothers? Trust me, these people are not your brothers anymore. They want you destroyed. And they thought that you are a Morid B'Malchus, and at that point it's over. The problem becomes when Yaakov says, Biogon Sha'ola, Biavel Sha'ola, it goes all the way back. What does Yaakov mean that to me, I feel like I am now going to, what is Sheola? It's like the phantom zone, so to speak. That's the terminology when I was a kid. That's the way I made the assumption. But the Mefarshim tell it, basically it's Gehenna that he saw. What do you mean that he felt he was going to Gehenna? Because this goes back to the dream initially when we see the 12 stones. Yaakov had a nevuah way back on the way, Vinei Sulam Mutzavarza, that he would have, that there would be 12 Shvatim. And what the Mefarshim say was that he was told in the dreams that if his 12 sons would survive and his 12 sons would all, you know, live in, well, under some, they would survive him, then he would have his place in Gan Eden. But if at some point in time that one of his sons would be killed, or one of his sons would die on him, then that would be a very bad sign. And if now Yosef no longer would be extant, he would be killed, or however it happened, he would no longer, then he was now destined to go to Gehenna at this point in time. And so now the depression was greater than anything else. We come to the Maisa of Tamar, and it says, Vayered Yehuda me'esechav. What does it mean, Vayered Yehuda me'esechav? So, of course, they like to say that, but the Malba makes a very interesting point over here, is Yehuda himself was depressed because what the brothers made a mistake in thinking over here was that they finally realized after Vayimo'ein Lehisnachem that even though initially they thought on some level that possibly that when they would find out that Yosef, after seeing Yaakov's reaction by Yigar Bo Aviv, that somehow they could put this over and Yaakov wouldn't have such a terrible reaction to it in their misguided thought process, they saw how aggravated he was. And so now he became depressed that they made a very great error in judgment, and he realized it was down to him being, as you know, the obviously the big brother who people would have listened to, because in the end result was it was Yehuda's suggestion that they followed and not Reuven's. And it was Yehuda who mistook, and Vayered Yehuda me'esechav. Some of Farshim want to say the brothers now thought less of Yehuda, but the Malbim says, no, Yehuda thought less of himself. Vayered Yehuda me'esechav. He became personally depressed, and so he left because he couldn't stand to be around his father, because he felt responsible for his father's depression, which gave him a depression as well, seeing that they misjudged this thing. The whole idea of coming down, Vayered Yehuda me'esechav, and it says, logos sono, what was the whole scenario of that point is, you know, you say you're on a cattle drive, and the Malbim makes this point as well, you're on a cattle drive, and you make your big sale, you bring it to town, and you make the big sale, and you got full of money in your pocket, and you say, okay, guys, you know, you pay them up a little bit, and everybody goes to town to have a couple of nights in town before we head back home. And Yehuda now was a little bit, he drank a little bit, he came to town flush with money, and this is unfortunately what happened. He made his big deal, or goes so no, he finished the contract, and he was ready to go home, and they spend the night in town to have a good time, and this is where it ended up, and he had the affair with Tamar. Of course, we see that this is what happened. What I wanted to say was, at this point, the time is running out, obviously, but the dreams at the end with the Sarah Mashke and the Sarah Ofer, we notice one thing that's very important over here. There's a difference between the Lashonos of this, of the, it says Hamashke veHofel Adonaihem leMelech Mitzrayim. It says that the Mashke and the Ofer, but afterwards, who was put in jail? There's different terminology used. It says Vayiksov Paro al Sar HaOfer v'al Sar HaMashke. There's four people involved over here. There was the Mashke and the Ofer, and then there were people who actually did the service, and then there were people who were the people in charge of all the wine problems and all the bread. So it wasn't the Ofer and the Mashke who were put in jail. Vayiksov Paro al Sar HaMashke v'al Sar HaOfer. They said, look what happened, you guys are in charge. You should know better what to do than give it to other people, to your minions. You know what? When it's time to serve the king, I understand that you have various people. There's a whole staff. There's 20 bakers. There's 20 wine stewards going around serving everybody. But you know what? When it comes time to serving Paro, you should do it yourself. I deserve personal attention from the big guy. So he became angry with the Sarah Ofer and the Sarah Mashke. Which brings to mind, which tells you at the end of the parsha, when Yosef interprets the dream, what is the godless of the dream interpretation is, that in reality you would think that the Sar HaMashke was the greatest sinner, because all it took to see was a quick glance into the cup of wine to see if there was the pebble, the fly in the cup. That was very simple to take out. If you have a rock or a piece of wood in the bread, how could anybody spot that? Were you going to start ripping open every loaf of bread piece by piece before you serve it to the king? That's not right. So it's obviously, so when Yosef interpreted the dream, that really went against the grain of doing it. But when it says Vayisa, and if we had it today in Yirmiyahu also, or actually not today, but in the next Perek, when it says Vayisa also, it means he didn't, what it says Vayisa Sara Mashke and Sara Ofa Al Mashkeyu V.S. Sara Ofa, and he gave them both back their jobs. He didn't right away do what it is. He gave them both back their jobs, and the purpose was a test. And now he had Yom Huledes as Paro. It was not Paro's birthday, but Paro's wife gave birth, and Yom Huledes, it was the day that his wife had a child. A new Paro was going to be born, and now he took them both and gave them back their jobs. Why was he so... a lot of Mefarshim say, this is various Mefarshim, what was Paro so sensitive about a little thing like a fly or a piece of wood? Because there had been talk of a lot of insurrection in the kingdom, the Hittites, historically speaking, there were plots against the kingdom. And the whole idea that set it off was Yosef himself rising from being a slave who was in jail, now was rising up to be, you know, working for Potiphar and getting, it was a Jewish slave, had come to such godless. It's tremendous. And people were saying, and now when he was accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife, you say, you see, this is the problem. When those people, you could never trust them. They're always going to be a problem. So they became very, very ticklish about slave people rising to the top. It became a big problem. And so now he was very sensitive to anything that went wrong. So he stuck them in jail for minor offenses, thinking that this was a plot to kill him. Perhaps they were putting poison in the wine. But the test was over here. What are they going to do now? Are they going to put them, I give them back their jobs, I gave the baker back his position, I gave the wine steward back the position. Now that became the big party, Yom Huledes es Paro, I give them both back their job. Now what happens? The Sara Mashke went ahead and personally served the king. The Sara Ofer still went ahead and told his minions to serve Paro. And he said, Sara Mashke learned his lesson. The Sara Ofer did not learn his lesson. And he put him back and he gave Es Mashkeyu, he gave him back his job. The Sara Ofer, he said, I gave you an opportunity to be the one to serve me my cakes or bread personally. And once again, you sent your minions, you sent the lower people down the rung of the ladder, the other bakers, to serve me. And that was a big mistake. You didn't learn from your mistakes. He did. He goes back. And Yosef saw that in his dream. And that's why he went against the grain. I guess we'll stop here. There's so much to say. Amen. 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 Amen.